But if you close your eyes. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some of the reasons why law enforcement in America sucks, move on to why food is being held hostage, and follow all of that up with what Venezuela has that the Trump regime wants. Let's begin, shall we? There's a saying people like to use when excusing the behavior and sometimes deadly actions of cops that always pisses me off. You'll hear people say, "There are some bad apples," as if anyone on the other side of the thin blue line can tell the difference. Case in point, in July of 2023, a black woman called the cops because she thought a sketchy dude was hanging around her property, and it was nighttime. Sonia Massey was all by herself and made the mistake of thinking the cops would protect her from her perceived threat, when she should have taken her chances with the would-be burglar.
A former sheriff's deputy charged with first-degree murder for shooting a woman who had called 911 was convicted on a lesser charge yesterday. Sean Grayson, he claimed he was defending himself from victim Sonia Massey.
Sean Grayson was facing three counts of first-degree murder, but a jury found him guilty on one lesser count of second-degree murder, sparing Grayson a possible life sentence. The former Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy shot Massey down in her kitchen after she called 911 to check on a suspected prowler. Grayson testified that he viewed Massey's pot of boiling water as a threat and was trained to use force to gain compliance.
Roughly halfway into the 36-minute clip, Massey walks to her stove and picks up a pot of boiling water. It's difficult to hear what she says. That's when the deputy on screen, identified as Sean Grayson, replies.
You better fucking, I swear to God, I'll fucking shoot you right in your face.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Drop the pot!
Shots fired!
Officials later saying Massey, a mother of two, was shot in the head.
I'm not taking hot boiling water to the face.
Of course. I mean, who would want that? Certainly not a heavily armed white dude in a uniform who's standing several feet and in another room away from the pot of boiling water. And never mind that killer cop Grayson doesn't understand how distance and gravity works when it comes to water being thrown, or the fact that neither the pot nor the water was actually thrown at cowardly Sean because he shot Sonia in the face before anything happened. Oh, and let's not forget, we only have the footage of the incident because the other cop had his body cam on when killer Sean conveniently had his turned off.
Now we see the violence inherent in the system.
And let's talk about the second degree murder charge, because that's some old bullshit right there. Second degree murder is reserved for people who kill without premeditation, as if telling someone you're going to shoot them in the face moments before you do has nothing to do with advanced planning. So what the fuck do you call, in the course of conversation, one person shoots another in the manner by which they threatened just moments before the shooting? I mean, I get the difference between first and second degree murder is the planning phase, but how fucking long does it take someone to plan to shoot someone in the face before you are guilty of it, you know, as far as first degree murder goes? Because according to the body cam footage, Sean had several minutes to think about what he'd do if Sonia could throw a small saucer of boiling water 10 to 15 feet in his direction. And let's not forget, he even had the time to articulate his thoughts when he screamed at her that he would shoot her in the face moments before he did. I guess the jury just totally glossed over that fact when they gave a previously dishonorably discharged from the army back in 2016, once fired from another police department for using his squad car to run a woman he liked and her boyfriend off the road in 2022, when they gave this guy a second degree murder charge.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
And while we're on the subject of the myriad of reasons why one in three people say cops suck at their jobs, partially because the majority of them are obviously unqualified for the job to begin with. No group of law enforcement has received more well-deserved ire than the Proud Boys known as ICE. These otherwise unhirable and out-of-shape incels, with their faces covered, not only can't do 15 push-ups, 32 sit-ups, and run a mile and a half in 14 minutes, they aren't trained on how to tell the difference between a U.S. citizen, an undocumented person, and someone who entered the country illegally. Probably because everything I just mentioned requires reading and comprehension skills that these former insurrectionists clearly don't have and isn't a requirement of employment at DHS. When all they have to do is look at a person to know they're not supposed to be here.
ICE has detained more than 170 citizens in recent raids. And the New York Times, citing video of federal agents tackling people and even telling a group of Latinos, including a U.S. citizen, they have no rights.
George Redis is a 25-year-old U.S. citizen, a disabled Army veteran, who's taking on the federal government after he was detained by ICE for 3 days and nights without charge, arrested during a raid in July.
One agent put their knee on my neck and another agent put their knee on my back, all while like four or five other agents stood around and watched.
It's been disclosed in a new court filing that an ICE agent in Chicago pointed a weapon at a veteran United States citizen, said, quote, bang, bang, you're dead, liberal.
So an Alabama man is suing the federal government after he says he was detained not just once, but twice by ICE agents. Leonardo Garcia Venegas says that both incidents happened while he was working at a construction site earlier this year and that both happened purely because he's Latino.
A U.S. citizen who was 9 months pregnant was hospitalized upon her release from immigration custody after she was detained by federal agents. Carrie Lopez has been experiencing sharp pains in her stomach after immigration agents arrested her, despite being a United States citizen.
Because that's the stuff of nightmares. According to ProPublica, the Department of Hostages and Scapegoats doesn't keep track of how many U.S. citizens they've kidnapped so far, but the organization was able to identify 170 Americans who were disappeared during raids without being able to call their families or their lawyer or even let someone know what the fuck happened to them. And while 130 of them were charged with interfering with an operation or assaulting a frost pig, those cases seem to all go nowhere and are often dropped. But not before the icy Gestapo tackles, drags, beats, kneels on their necks, tases, and even shoots them with rubber and even real bullets. All the while, Mar-a-Lago face gnome stands at a very safe distance and mutters to herself.
Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
And for what, you might ask? Well, it's the 3,000 arrests per day quota that the White House chief of forehead is demanding of the current border czar, Tom Barely a Human.
I think we're not going to be slowed down by any story about changes in leadership. I'm at the White House and work with people like Stephen Miller, one of the most brilliant people I've ever met, to come with strategic policies and plans, how to get success, right, how to maintain success, and how to get the numbers even higher.
Wow, so you really don't give a shit who you arrest, as long as they're brown or black. Because racial profiling is always a good bet when your boss is Timu Goebbels. And you wonder why people are doxing your overweight army of frosty rejects every chance they get. Seems like the perfect amount of karma, considering when all of this is over, I was just following orders will not be an acceptable excuse for what you've done since the Burger King hired you to do his dirty work. While Blob the Builder focuses on demolishing America's history so he can build a ballroom three times bigger than his favorite German did back in 1933 in order to hide his bunker, which doesn't make any sense unless you ask yourself.
I would booze out in Hamilton, build a ballroom. That ain't making sense to me.
No, that ain't making sense.
You're a defense contractor. What is it they're really after? It feels like a CO conspiracy. Why would Lockheed Martin build a ballroom? That ain't making sense to me.
No, that don't make no
rockets,
sense.
They build missiles. Now it's drinks to watch you whistle. It's something sinister indeed. Oh, why would Palantir want to help build a ballroom? That ain't making sense to me. I just can't get down with that man. You remember that scene from Batman? They're gonna build more surveillance technology. Oh, turns out Hitler also built the ballroom.
Oh, now it's making sense to me.
Oh, Redlands stuff hit the fan. That's the place that they all ran. And it turns out that Trump has the exact same plan. God damn it!
And considering the kind of bullshit Chin Flab Un has been pulling for the last 286 or so days, he's going to need that refurbished bunker he's renovating under the ballroom for billionaires. I mean, at least they're paying for it. Heck, those donors are probably paying for a room they can panic in once everyone in America realizes there are a lot more of us than there are of them.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line.
Which is probably why the Dictator Tot hosted a Great Gatsby-themed party for himself and his rich bitches at his retirement home in Florida on Halloween, while 42 million ants are trying to figure out how they're going to eat for the foreseeable future. And if you think millions of Americans losing their food stamp benefits is the fault of the Democrats for shutting down the government, then you haven't been listening to how the Republicans are framing their own disaster.
Take it from the party who essentially wrote the government shutdown playbook.
The pain is the point.
The SNAP benefits is a unique situation. I got a summary of the whole legal analysis, and it certainly looks legitimate to me. The contingency funds are not legally available to cover the benefits right now. The reason is because it's a finite source of funds. It was appropriated by Congress, and if they transfer funds from these other sources, it pulls it away immediately from school meals and infant formula. So it's a trade-off. The best way for SNAP benefits to be paid on time is for the Democrats to end their shutdown.
Obviously, it would benefit people who are receiving food assistance through SNAP, but to keep the government shut down for another 3 weeks, why wouldn't you just open it up and have everybody get their benefits now?
Because if you deviate from the goal of reopening the entire government, Chuck Schumer and the radicals over there will continue to play games with people's paychecks, their livelihoods, and if you do just part of this, it will reduce the pressure for them to do all of it.
You heard him. The pain is the point. On October 1st, the U.S. government shut down because Democrats refused to give Republicans 6 votes needed to pass their continuing resolution that would kick an estimated 16 million Americans off of their health insurance and raise everyone else's premiums by 3 to 4 times the current cost. And for the last month, Micro Johnson has become more and more frustrated with his inability to control another political party's actions. So he and the Trump regime came up with a shitty way of dealing with their problems by threatening to starve millions of children, the elderly, and the disabled until Democrats do what they want. Their plan? Refuse to use contingency cash reserved for emergencies like a government shutdown for SNAP benefits in the hopes that hungry voters will pressure Dems to reopen the government.
By the way, how can I negotiate? The president's in Asia for 5 days. Johnson's basically keeping his House representatives out till January to stop, and protect pedophiles. So who am I negotiating with right now? Because Republicans refuse to act. So they're screwing up on tariffs, they're raising inflation, and now they're going to go
Senator,
ahead
the Republicans
and raise
refusing
your premiums.
Democrats say, wait a second, there is a contingency fund for food stamps. And in fact, you can go back on the Wayback Machine and find a memo from all the way back just on September 30th of this year, so not really that long ago, that says congressional intent is evident that SNAP's operation should continue since the program has been provided with multi-year contingency funds to ensure that the state can continue operations during a federal government shutdown. Multi-year contingency funds available to fund participant benefits in the event that a lapse occurs in the middle of the fiscal year. Democrats say that the Trump administration is changing their interpretation of the law so they can use the hunger of 42 million Americans to pressure Democrats to vote to reopen the government. The Trump administration says, no, that's not true. This is just their legal interpretation. And Democrats should vote to reopen the government because these are vital nutrition programs.
They also, if the contingency fund, which is $6 billion, which gets you nearly a month, 3 weeks, runs out, then they can pass Senator Lujan or Senator Hawley's bill, both of which we support. We know that there'll be 60 votes for that. Why aren't they calling it up? They're not calling it up because the House isn't here to pass it. That's the way it works. The House would have to come here. They probably would have to vote on the Epstein files, but they're choosing to let kids go hungry instead of having to vote on the Epstein files.
Ain't that the truth? It is a fact that during the last government shutdown, which happened during the first installment of the Trump regime, SNAP benefits did not stop. Because there's $6 billion set aside for fuck-ups like this, so Americans don't have to go without food while Capitol Hill gets their shit together. There's two proposed bills on Capitol Hill right now that would fund SNAP for the duration of the entire shutdown, regardless of however long it goes on, that Tiny Johnson is refusing to acknowledge because he doesn't give a fuck if people go hungry.
It is no concern of mine whether your family has... What was it again?
Food.
Ha! You really should have thought of that before you became peasants.
And when I say people going hungry, I mean most of the people that will be hungry who are on SNAP happen to be GOP voters living in red states.
It has been around for decades and decades, helping low-income Americans buy healthy food. About one in every eight Americans rely on SNAP to get food. That is more than 40 million people.
The average SNAP benefit is $180 a month per person. That's about $6 a day. The majority of recipients are children, older adults, or disabled people who don't work. But most SNAP participants do work. That's according to a recent study. And according to the USDA, 73% of SNAP recipients had a gross monthly income at or below 100% of the poverty level in fiscal year 2023.
Now that is a good point I would like to elaborate on. For example, 1.6 million Americans are employed by Walmart and 800,000 Americans work for McDonald's. The average Walmart associate makes about $13.39 an hour, while the average McDonald's employee makes $13.62 an hour. Those, unfortunately, are poverty wages, and the reason why Walmart and McDonald's have the most employees on food stamps out of all the other companies that refuse to pay a living wage. So why did states and the federal government pay subsidies and loan bailouts to Walmart for over $283 million in 2024? And McDonald's walked away with over $11 million of our taxpayer dollars in the same time period, when McDonald's made $8.2 billion and Walmart made nearly $157 billion in profit just in 2024 alone. You know, there is a phrase for that.
What are you doing? What? Did you just double dip that chip?
Excuse me?
You double dipped the chip.
Double dipped? What are you talking about?
You dipped the chip. You took a bite. And you dipped again.
And for those of you in the back, that is who we should all be upset over, not the SNAP recipients buying Oreos or soda with their benefits. I mean, where is the outcry over Ronald McDonald or the spawn of Walton buying their 17th yacht thanks to double dip in the chip? What with the U.S. taxpayer paying these corporations back for doing business in our country and all that extra cash they're saving by not paying their employees enough to even shop where they work. All the more reason why not one, but two federal judges just ruled that Republicans and the Trump regime cannot starve the people in order to punish Dems for exercising their congressional right of refusal.
The judge has now officially ordered the federal government to use funds for SNAP benefits.
Approximately half the states in the District of Columbia, they filed a lawsuit challenging the Department of Agriculture's refusal to release these contingency funds. The 2008 Food and Nutrition Act that says that the Department of Agriculture shall provide these benefits. So what the states argued was that this was a violation of the Administrative Procedures Act. This is a federal agency that is really ignoring federal law by making this decision not to release the funds. And this is something that was arbitrary. It was capricious.
We now actually have two different judges making two different rulings. A Massachusetts judge be leaning in the direction that the government will need to provide SNAP benefits somehow, that they cannot cut off the program. But they're saying that they need the White House to actually put in writing that they plan to not continue to fund that program or that they're not planning on finding a backup source of funding.
Federal judge in Boston did rule that the administration's attempt to suspend the SNAP funding, as you mentioned, is unlawful, but that judge declined to issue an immediate order ordering that the program be funded by the federal government.
The one in Rhode Island, that judge basically ruled from the bench telling the U.S. government that they need to find funding for that SNAP program. They mentioned the contingency fund. This is the one that Brooke Rollins, Ag Secretary, just told us a little bit ago they couldn't use. Now a federal judge is saying you need to go ahead and use that.
By Monday, the defendants, meaning the Trump administration and specifically the USDA, has to advise her, and I'm now reading from the order, whether they will authorize at least reduced SNAP benefits for November, and if so, their timeline for determining whether to authorize only reduced SNAP benefits using the contingency funds or whether they will authorize full SNAP benefits using both those contingency funds and additional available funds taken from, I believe, imports.
Damn. Those judges told you where to go to get the money and how much from those tariffs to use to make up the difference. And after all the weeks of this tiny rap bastard running the House of Reps saying it couldn't be done, apparently making SNAP benefits appear is as easy as two federal court orders. That's the good news, folks. The bad news is Donnie Dullhans has a history of not following the law, hence why he is a 34 times convicted felon. And to be honest, everyone's waiting to see if Eric's dad will file an appeal to these two rulings, something that he does in order to get the answer he wants whenever anyone tells him no. And if you thought that was bad enough, and it really is, wait until you hear how cruel the Trump regime really is, straight from the governor of Illinois.
They've done something insidious, the federal government, in addition to Donald Trump being willing to turn off SNAP benefits on November 1, when they do have emergency funds available at the Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and they're choosing not to use it. But they've done something even more insidious. They've decided to shut down the SNAP machines so that they can't be used. So even if we were to put money into SNAP accounts, they couldn't be accessed by someone who has a SNAP card.
That's just fucking diabolical. It wasn't enough making poverty-level Americans worry for weeks about whether or not they're going to be able to afford to eat in the month of November or ever again, that they had to make sure that even if a blue state picked up the tab for SNAP beneficiaries, they couldn't access them anyway because the cards don't work. That, my dearies, is the pain Republicans are talking about, is the point of all of this. Because regardless of how many times this little fucker speaking for the House says,
the Democrats are required to open the government. They keep saying Republicans are in charge of government. We aren't.
He's lying. The grand old pedophile protecting party has the power to reopen the government any fucking time they want. They control the Congress, the presidency, and arguably the bogus SCOTUS as well. They have the power. But instead of America First, they're busy bailing out Argentina to the tune of $40 billion taxpayer dollars and illegally killing people off the coast of Venezuela.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. First and foremost, the fact that no one can confirm that we've actually been taking out narco traffickers. So we have 32 people that have been killed so far, 7 individual strikes. We know that the Colombian president is alleging at least that an innocent fisherman was murdered. We know that there's a family from Trinidad who's saying that a member of their family was killed. And then it is really important that we have repatriated 2 people, 1 to Colombia, 1 to Ecuador, because that indicates that we don't have any evidence to prosecute them, that we didn't know who these guys were. Because if you did have evidence, you would bring them before a court. We should have the evidence. They should be charged with something, and they should come before a court of law. So all these people have been blown up without any evidence of a crime.
So far, more than 20 people, Senator, have been killed in 6 different strikes.
You know, when you kill someone, you should know if you're not in at war, not in a declared war, you really need to know someone's name, at least. You have to accuse them of something. You have to present evidence. So all of these people have been blown up without us knowing their name, without any evidence of a crime.
And that is fucking illegal. And I'm not just talking about the fact that General Fatten didn't get congressional approval before he blew up boats and killed at least 27 people that we know of. Oh, and disappeared to foreign countries, the only 2 survivors of these attacks, before they could explain to anyone, including the press, who they were and why they were on the boats, what they were doing out there before McMeltdown blew them up. I'm talking about war crimes level illegal, according to the law of the sea and laws preventing extrajudicial killings. You know, like when you explode speedboats in water that doesn't belong to you and is very, very fucking far away from your own shores for no articulatable reason. And try to hide your crimes from Congress and the public.
Republicans who have been asked about this this morning are saying they're hearing there's going to be another briefing for Democrats.
Yesterday, the administration convened a briefing for Republican senators, and only Republican senators, on the recent U.S. military strikes in the Caribbean. Along with that briefing, they shared the Office of Legal Counsel's opinion that tries to lay out legal justification for those strikes. They didn't share it with Congress. They didn't share it with the Gang of Eight, which is their responsibility. They didn't share it with the Senate. They shared it with one political party. That is not how the system is supposed to work. Now, only when they got caught, only when word got out and senators started asking questions, did they scramble to make things work. They said, okay, we'll give it just to Democratic members of the Gang of Eight. This is not how the law works. This is not how Congress is supposed to act. This try to cover your tracks after this malfeasance still falls short of what the Constitution demands.
Duh. We've got Emperor Palpatine hands popping off boats in the Caribbean like he's playing Galaga, and the only people he's sharing the deets with are the same assholes who are starving their citizens until Democrats give in to their demands. So what's this big secret Republiturds and Meta Mussolini are hiding? Well, like anything in this Timu dictatorship, the attacks on Venezuelan fishermen has to do with one thing, and it's not drugs. In fact, Teddy Roosevelt told everyone why he's fucking with Venezuela back in January of this year. Roll tape.
Venezuela. How about we're buying oil from Venezuela? When I left, Venezuela was ready to collapse. We would have taken it over. We would have gotten all that oil. It would have been right next door. But now we're buying oil from Venezuela, so we're making a dictator very rich. Can you believe this?
And for those of you in the back, Save-A-Lot Stalin said that months before he started tariffing countries that purchase Venezuelan oil an extra 25%. Now, since mid-October, he has given the green light for the CIA to go into the country and fuck things up because, and I'm not making this up, because old Whack Donald thinks Venezuelan asylum seekers came from mental hospitals. And, of course, drugs. That catch-all excuse that totally ignores the fact that 75% of illicit drugs that enter the United States do so in the luggage of American citizens. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook, and we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners, because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.